What if owning the outcome, whether good or bad, could be your greatest strength? Or are you stuck wondering why things always fall apart when you're in control? I get it. I'll be honest with you, family. You've been blamed for every failure. And if you're wondering, why are all eyes on you when things go wrong? This episode is for you. Let's jump into point number one. Point number one, clarify expectations and alignment during interviews. Family, this sets the stage of what the expectations you're about to walk into. Okay, you don't like that. This is the foundation in which you're going to learn more about what you're about to walk into because of how you positioned your questions during the interview process, as well as the type of feedback you get during the interview process. And there's ways to discover that. See, the interviewing process is an opportunity to understand the company's expectations and assess if they're aligned with project management philosophy and skills. Misalignment can and will lead to conflicts later if you and your direct manager have different approaches and priorities. Here's my actionable advice, family. During interviews, ask questions about their project management styles, their expectation for success, and how they will handle challenges. That last piece, how they will handle challenges, will tell you a lot about the maturity of the organization. It will tell you a lot about the maturity of the leadership in place. I put some questions in place that I hope you steal my homework today, family. This is one of those things where I need you to write this down. If you're driving, go back and listen to this again. Question number one, would this project manager role be a backfill or a newly created position? Why are we asking that question? We want to know what we're walking into. Most of the time when it is a backfill, you're picking up the project management work from the previous project manager. When it's a newly created position, now is one of those things you're concerned, but you're not that concerned. But the concern is that, okay, how many project managers are there within the organization? And takes me to my next question of how long has this project been active, or the project basically you want me to leave been active? If it's been active for, you know, a month or two, or, you know, you'll know if they say, oh, we're just getting started. Okay, great. Then that means it gives me time to understand, first of all, connecting with the stakeholders as well as the project team. And then it also gives me a chance to start putting certain artifacts in place. What is the expectation of the project manager? That right there lets you know a lot about what they're looking for when you come in. When you hear terminology like, oh, we're looking for someone to hit the ground running. I used to didn't like that, but I've twisted that around a little bit and I figured out what they mean. Well, some mean it in a literal term, like you to pick up and just take off. But others mean it that they want you to get acclimated with the environment, and they're looking for someone that is looking for a career and want to grow within the organization. So when they say hit the ground running, that translates to be willing to learn, because there may be a slight learning curve because of the organization. All organizations are led and ran differently. So there's going to be a slight learning curve. Next one, what type of project management methodology, framework, and or processes does your organization currently use? Again, this is a maturity question. Why are we asking these maturity questions? Because we need to know, are we coming in based off the PMBOK? Or are we coming off of pulling aspects out the PMBOK, the project management body of knowledge, and we're just going in and, first of all, connecting with stakeholders and project team members and just moving forward and leading and figuring it out as we go. But this is going to tell me a lot of how much stress that I may have or may not have to deal with. And the last and most important question, how are challenges and escalations expected to be handled by the project manager? Why do you want to know that? You want to know, do they have escalation paths in place? If they don't, would they be open for you to create an escalation path? And if they tell you no, that's a red flag. You might as well, and you may want this opportunity, but I'm going to tell you, it may not, as my grandma would say, the juice may not be worth the squeeze. So as I'm saying that to say, family, these alignment type questions really offers you an insight into see not only if it's a fit for you, but if you decide to take this on, what you're up against. Because even if they don't have it, they didn't have a, this wasn't a backfill and this is a new position, this may be a great opportunity. But again, it all depends on what you're feeling comfortable with. Because at the end of the day, if there's not an escalation path, if there's not a good environment that supports project management, I don't care how exceptional you are, I don't care how amazing you are, you're not going to have the success that maybe you've had at prior organizations. All right, let's move on to point number two. Build trust and establish communication during meetings with your manager. Listen, regular meetings with your direct manager truly does help build trust and foster what you really need, which is open communication, which is crucial when you're navigating challenges. See, what this does, family, is it establishes a solid relationship. So when problems, issues arise, you have a foundation to rely on, which is your manager, and now you're not feeling isolated or unsupported. Here's my actionable advice. Use meetings to provide transparent updates on your project progress, proactively discuss potential issues, and seek feedback. This shows commitment and builds a collaborative work environment. Also, one of them I left off, after you have this meeting with your project, with your direct manager, recap the meeting so you let them know that their time was not wasted. And plus, when you're recapping these meetings, what this will also do for you, for your performance appraisal, you'll be able to extract information from your performance appraisal, meaning on the feedback that you got and how you've corrected it. So when you're filling that out, and also if something comes up, there's an issue and you've escalated and your manager is like, hey, you know, you blindsided me with this. No, I didn't. And I'll show you when we met on this day, I pointed out the issues at the end of each month. I always keep a recap of all the issues and how they were solved. And so, yeah, so this is something that is really good. This also sets your manager up for success as well, because when you set your manager up for success, he or she will set you up for success. Point number three, emphasize the importance of documentation. You knew I wasn't going to leave documentation off, because documentation beats what? Documentation always beats conversation. So proper documentation serves as evidence where project performance is questioned, proving that you communicated risk, issues, and solutions appropriately. Here's my actionable advice. Implement a habit of summarizing every meeting, decision, an agreement in a project log, sharing it with stakeholders to ensure transparency. One of my favorite artifacts to use for this, which is very simple, which is a RAID log: risks, action items, issues, decisions. And then we also throw that Q on there for questions. This is a really good, you could do this in Excel. Smartsheets even has this as well. But I love using this because I like to capture what was said, who said it, why we made that decision, just in case. If something comes up and people are asking, why did we make this decision, or stakeholders or our project sponsor? Point number four, control the controllable. Listen, I wish I could tell you can control everything within the project, but you can't. That's why you have a team. However, there are certain elements you are accountable for, that you are responsible for, and that you have to push back on, which are your triple constraints, which is your scope, cost, schedule, and quality. When you learn to manage these proactively instead of reactively, it allows you to be set up for success for any issues that may arise. Here's my actionable advice. Regularly review these key areas with your team and stakeholders to identify any deviations early, allowing you to take corrective action promptly. Point number five, adopt extreme ownership mindset. Got that from Jocko Wilkes. And the reason why extreme ownership is key, because you must. I know it's not right. I know it's not fair that you take accountability for the bad and you get less accountability or less praise for the good. But this is part of the role that we signed up for this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. So take full accountability and responsibility for the project outcome, even if the issue stems from external factors like your team performance or your stakeholders are not signing off for certain things or your project sponsor. See, this is going to build credibility and foster trust. But I also know someone's out there thinking, well, you know what? Again, this wasn't my fault. This was the team performance issue. And I escalated. I did everything I possibly can do. Well, this is going to be an opportunity for you to take that information, whether you stay at the organization or not. If you stay at the organization, then you know certain people because they'll be coming back around to work on another project that you have, that you're going to be able to address that directly. And you're going to have to be direct with it and document it. You may even need to record it so this doesn't happen to you again. Here's my actionable advice. Lead by example, consistently showing the team that you will own both successes as well as failures. And the last and final one, this will inspire them to take ownership as well, reducing the chance of blame shifting. And again, family, in the real world, as we're leading projects, I'm going to be quite honest with you. It's going to take time to develop that blame shifting mindset. A lot of people are looking to place blame on you, but when you step up and take accountability and you're consistent and persistent, eventually, leadership is going to start looking at the team and saying, wait a minute, I know that wasn't your fault, Ed. Why are you taking accountability? Hey, I'm protecting my team. This was my fault. I should have done such and such. And you make sure that you get that information gets back to the team. Either they're going to either get with the program or you're going to have to start finding out ways to bring in new team members. All right. Point number six, conduct regular risk assessment. Regular risk assessments allow you to anticipate potential problems and prepare mitigation strategies, showing stakeholders that you are proactive rather than reactive. You know, risk, and I still have an episode I'm going to make around risk. Risk is very dear and important to me because once the risk register is filled out, let's be honest, a lot of times people just put it aside like every other artifact. But we have to constantly look at this at our risk register to make sure there's none of these risks are actually flipping to issue. Here's my actionable advice. Schedule a risk assessment session at each project phase. Involve key team members to ensure a comprehensive evaluation and mitigation plan. Point number seven, facilitate crucial conversation. Sometimes, family, you have to have an honest, professional discussion about how to manage both successes and failure creates a culture of transparency. One of the biggest pillars in an agile mindset is transparency. That is why I'm always pushing for transparency in my projects, even when people feel uncomfortable in giving that transparency, because I know because it's a waterfall project, you like, oh, I have more time to hide this and I'll be able to fix it on the back end. No. We need to be transparent. So this way it can reduce the likelihood of blame being unfairly assigned. Here's my actionable advice. Schedule monthly feedback sessions with your team to discuss what's working and basically what's not and how escalations are handled, ensuring everyone is on the exact same page. You can't be on table contents when I'm on preface, but you'll get the gist of it. Point number eight, adapt to less established project management environments. You know, one of the things I've seen, even for myself, when I would come into an organization that was not as established as previous organizations that I worked at in project management, it would get frustrating because I was like, where's this and this? And what I realized is first, I need to adapt to the environment. That's the first thing. Once I adapt to the environment and then I can bring them up with me. It's sort of like when you're speaking to an audience. You have to know the audience that you're speaking to. There's one language that you can speak to one certain audience, but there's a different language that you have to speak to another audience. Here's what I mean by that. If I'm speaking to executives, I'm going to speak at a very high level. I'm going to talk about the issues that we're up against and the solutions that we've taken thus far to rectify those particular issues. And I'm also, during that conversation, I'm going to address, hey, I may need help from you on this particular issue, and he'll assign me a resource, or she'll assign me a resource. That's important. Now, when I'm talking to my project team, I'm going into deep details so we can create clarity and also will have a structure involved. Here's my actual advice. Set up a basic tracking system. You remember I talked about this before. Some people laughed at me, but I'm so sincere. Leveraging Excel, even using a Trello board. These are basic functionalities so you could keep track of and holding people accountable. And communicate your process to the team, ensuring everyone follows a consistent method. That is also key, ensuring that you're being consistent and holding everyone else at a consistent method. Here's my three transformational recommendations, family, and I'll send you on your way, and I'll truly appreciate you today thus far. Point number one, clarifying expectations and alignment during interviews. As I talked about, you want to be asking those probing questions to understand the organization, how projects are led, how leadership responds to escalations, how leadership empowers project managers, how leadership gives you grace and opportunity to grow in your role. Point number two, adopt a stream ownership mindset. Hey, again, I know that this wasn't your fault, but you are the lead of this project. And if you did not take the proper stance and escalating when it was important, holding people accountable, and you waited to the last minute, maybe you didn't wait to the last minute. Let's say you did everything right. Unfortunately, you still are the leader of the project. However, here's the good news. Now that you know that you don't have proper support, you have decisions you have to make. Decision one, you could continue to go on to the next project and continue to face the same experience, or you can have a crucial conversation with your leadership and explain what happened and give them a breakdown of all the shifts and changes. Or the last and final one is leave the organization. I hope that you've worked on the first two, but if possible, if it's that the environment is not shifting or doesn't want to make a transformation, then you understand what you need to do. Then the last and final point, adapt to less established project management environment. Like I said before, family, mature environments may not have, I should say less mature environments may not have a lot of processes and procedures. So just go in there with the foundational aspects of basically creating a schedule, creating a project management plan, basic things to you until you can get them up to a place where now the organization is looking more mature. Now, before a project, you know, gets started, we have a project kickoff meeting. Now we have an actual project charter. We actually build out a full entire project management plan, et cetera. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means, Ed, I appreciate your time. And as always, if there's something that comes up that you have a question or comment or about, reach out. You know how to find me. Until next time.